Our first speaker tonight, please welcome Wyatt, sorry, from Newport.
My name is Wyatt the Riot, and I'm an It's always good to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and Trevor, thank you for asking me to share. You know, I was sitting here and I was so nervous, man. And I was talking to George and I said, I'm just going to come up here and poop my pants and make me a legend around Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know if that's how it works or not, but, you know, it is truly good to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to welcome, you know, Ryan and Adam and Walter, man, 15 days. You know, 15 days. I see you, bro. 15 days without a drink. I couldn't go 15 minutes, man. I couldn't put together any time without a drink, but Walter's sitting back there with 15. You know, what happened? I asked myself, what happened? You know, I came in, you know, and when I was sitting there so nervous, and I was thinking about myself, and I realized it's because I don't think you'll like me. I don't think I'll do good enough. You know, Wyatt, you're going to bomb. Me, 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 I. Right. And I get extremely uncomfortable. And I realize around 2 or 3 minutes, sometimes one, of standing up here and talking to you people, that suddenly self has been removed enough to where I'm comfortable in my own skin because I'm not being selfish and self-centered. I'm no longer thinking of what I can take, you know, your approval, your applause, but what I can get, you know, and in that I find freedom around here. I have a sobriety date of March 18th, 2022. It's my first sobriety date, and I say that because I came to you, but I didn't hear you. You know, I came to you, and I sat in your chairs, and I took from Alcoholics Anonymous. I drank your coffee. I dated your women. I warmed your seats, and I would, you know, and I didn't do it for very long either. I'd pop in and say hello, and I would pop out when I was home. You know, I'm like you. I'll qualify. I drank a lot. I did drugs a lot. People died around me, and it wasn't enough. You know, it wasn't enough to expel this obsession that maybe possibly one day I'll be able to control and enjoy my drink. It's a great obsession, man, that next time it's going to be different. Next time I'm not going to end up in a treatment center. I'm just going to have a few beers. I went to a treatment center when I was 25 years old. Man, I went to that medical detox and they didn't talk about God, 12 steps, prayer, meditation, meetings. They talked none of God. It was a medical detox, man. And I went in there and they medically detoxed me from drugs and alcohol. And I left that place sicker than I walked in. I didn't know it, but I was suffering from something, man. I felt different. I felt not a part of. I was separated from. You know, it's the spiritual nature of this thing since I'm a child. You know, since I'm a child, I feel different. I'm not okay in my own skin. When's the other shoe going to drop? You know, when is the other shoe going to drop? The sense of impending doom. You know, I suffered from this, and I got out of that treatment center and see me, my story. I have a little problem when I get out of that treatment center at 25 years old, and that's I'm not like, I'm different. My case is different. I'm just a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic, you know, and I have everything I own in this sober living in Placerville, California. And I'm not going to leave everything I own. It's not much. It's a trash bag full of crap, right? But it's in this sober living, and it's everything I got. I'm just going to go to my friend Billy's house and have some beers, you know. And I don't know that I have this phenomenon of craving. I don't know that when I take a drink, I don't know when I'm going to stop. I don't know I'm not going to stop until I'm stopped, until something happens, man. And I'd met a girl in that treatment center, shocker. And, you know, I got out of there and I swore, man, I could have put my hand on a Bible that I wasn't ever going to drink or use again, man. I thought I was cured, you know. And in short order, I was getting loaded because I picked up a drink. The drink leads me back to a drug over and over and over again. You know, that's how I know I'm alcoholic, man, because if I take a drink, all bets are off. You know, I hear around here that how many times do we hear in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous that this is a selfish program? I hear it. This is a selfish program. Is it? Is it a selfish program? I don't know. Let me see. Oh, and Catherine tabbed my book, so I feel cool. You know, look, I got all kinds of tabs like that. You know, it says here, it says, my friend had emphasized the absoluteness, this is from Bill's story. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly, it was imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true to the alcoholic, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots. What is selfish about that? What is selfish about that? I cannot survive the trials and low spots if I don't work with others. If I don't work with Peter, I got Peter, I got Joel, some guys that I stand arm in arm. I get the, these guys are the bright spot of my life. They truly are. As I get to see them recover, as I get to see a fellowship grow up about me, my heart starts to change around me. It's incredible, man. I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous a little over 2.5 years ago. I was in a treatment center in Laguna Beach. And I would look down on this beautiful setting. And I'd say, Wyatt, you are effed. You know, it's over for you, man. You're a loser. I thought I was broke. And I'd look down on that beach and I'd say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I walked into the Canyon Club and there was people like Deborah Carmen there, and she told me, she rubbed my temples and said, you're not a loser, you're just an alcoholic, baby, and we have a solution. And I'm like, you're crazy. But something about her demeanor, she was armed with some facts about herself and her condition that made me believe her. I knew she'd been to the dark place I had because she shared her stories with me. And in short order, I asked, my sponsor's name is Clay, and he said, he told this story on my first birthday, and he said, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I thought I was like John Gotti from South Sacramento. I had a big gold chain. My pants were down to my ass. I was walking like a penguin, like a ghetto penguin. And, you know, I was weird. You know what I mean? I was just a weirdo, but I thought I was cool, right? I was just so consumed with myself thinking I'm this gangster, you know, and I would wear tank tops, the big gold earrings. I look goofy. But, you know, I asked this man, Clay, and he tells the story. He says, I was praying for a new man to come in my life, and Wyatt asked me to sponsor him. And he says, man, I didn't mean like this. You know, but, you know, that man changed my life. That man came to my treatment center, not being selfish. He was giving up his time to come to me. And, you know, we got busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got busy, man. And, you know, I remember being in Deborah's art gallery in Laguna Beach, and he's like, okay, we're going to get on our knees and do a third step prayer. I'm like, there's people here. You know what I mean? And he said, we're going to humble ourselves right now in front of God, and we're going to take this third step prayer. And I did that, man. And I put columns on paper, and I got to causes and conditions, and I saw, you know, I could see for the first time, man, I put these things in motion. You know, I put these things in motion that had come back to bite me. And, you know, what I know is that the book tells me that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my problem. You know, I didn't know how to find a God. So people like Deborah and my sponsor, they told me, just keep removing self. When I was up here praying, I was praying, God, remove my ego. Allow me to touch someone's heart tonight that can help them make it to midnight tonight one more day. So. And if I continue to remove self and get smaller and stay in my little 2 foot square that I have in Alcoholics on them, just a small drop in a giant. And I get smaller and smaller. I create space for the power to come in. And as the power starts to come in, I start to get free. I prayed to God for the obsession of alcohol to be relieved for years, but it was my will. It's God could and would if he were sought, not Wyatt could and would if he tried harder. The unaided will is insufficient to overcome alcohol. You know what I mean? But as soon as it's thy will, not my will be done, man, something happens. You know, I believe that grace entered my life. I was in Pollock Pines and I was dying of untreated alcoholism. My alcoholism demands treatment. It demands treatment. Am I going to treat it with the 12 steps and a spiritual toolkit? Or am I going to treat it with drugs and alcohol? Or am I going to blow my brains out? These are my options, man. I can get suicidal in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I'm not working steps, when I'm not trusting God, cleaning house and helping others, I get suicidal here with you. That's the nature of my disease. I'm a real alcoholic, man. The problem starts when I put the drink down. I put the drink down and I'm so uncomfortable around here, man, until I take these steps and this thing that we talk about, right? This spiritual experience, the spiritual awakening, a cosmic shift in the way that I think, feel, and act, and most importantly to me, the way that I treat. The way that I treat God's kids on a daily basis. You know, I love so many people in this room, and And at 1 year sober, it was still all about me. You know what I mean? Like 80 people showed up to BJ's for my birthday. 80 sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous showed up to BJ's for me. People weren't showing up for me, man. You know, my mom died to this. My sister died to this. I had two uncles shoot themselves in the head. I pulled a friend out of a tent dead, but it's going to be different for me. It's going to be different for me somehow. And it just never was until I came to you people. You know, you people, you paid my rent. You gave me rides. You bought me clothes. You bought me teeth. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool. I was chewing steak with just my friend. He's like a rabbit when I got here. What we do in here in Alcoholics Anonymous is we just share our hearts, man. For me, this is a spiritual exchange. I'm no better or no worse than my guys, man. I tell them, you're saving my life. The new guy is saving my life. You're the boss. There's no hierarchy in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm no better, no worse than. I'm just one of, and if I could stand shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, cheek to cheek with these men, you know, and walk this road, no better, no worse, just one of. Man, I get free around here. Thank you, boy. I got 1 minute. This is a pamphlet that some old timer came up to me in a meeting, and she gave me this pamphlet. She pointed out this part, and it said, it's in a member's eye view. I am personally convinced the basic search of every human being from the cradle to the grave is to find at least one other human being before whom he can stand completely naked, stripped of all pretense or defense, and trust that person not to hurt him. Because that other person has stripped himself naked too. This lifelong search can begin to end with the first AA encounter, and that's what I found here. I could stand here not pretending. I could stand here imperfect, and I could share my heart with no pretense and no defense, man. I'm imperfect. I trust infinite God, not my finite self. Man, self-reliance has failed me. And didn't that bring a world of fear? But if I focus on Peter and Joel and Ryan, you know, and Adam and Walter, I'm free. What is that? The book says, what is this but a miracle of healing? And my friend Tim says that he no longer comes to the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous so that he can have a life beyond his wildest dreams, but so that Walter at 15 days sober can have a life beyond his. And I feel the same way. Thank you for letting me share.